This is the Best of Sports Channel 8, the radio show podcast, part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network. Now here's the best of today's Sports Channel 8, the radio show.
Monday morning. Brian Geisinger, ACC Sports.com and ACC Sports Journal in studio with us. Josh Goodson, fresh off of crushing some mortgages. just outside the studio, the guy's doing business. Also in to talk basketball and football with us. Jonathan Rand, producing this morning and every morning, as long as he keeps the Google Docs flowing.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
It was a big sports weekend. Not necessarily huge basketball games, but anytime we have crossover football and basketball games, it seems like a big weekend. Also, we are the show that knows which holidays are actually designed for celebrating our military, as opposed to ones that people just say are for our military, even though they have nothing to do with military. Today is Veterans Day. It is a great day to celebrate our military. Thank somebody for their military service, be it a family member, a co-worker, anyone else. Our great veterans do good work, and we should always try and take care of them. I think as a society, we know that. We don't always follow through on it. So as a lot of people say, and we'll say it better than I can, celebrate the military every day. Tell them thank you. I think John Forslund had a good tweet. We celebrate the folks in the military. But also, remember that like 4th of July isn't a military holiday. Labor Day is not a military holiday.
Do people say Labor Day is a military holiday?
It's not that they outwardly say it. It's that they're like, on this Labor Day, I'd like to thank the veterans. You're like, yes, thank them every day, yes. But don't take away from which holiday. Like on Christmas, that's a Christian holiday. Yeah. On Rosh Hashanah, that's a Jewish holiday. That's not a day to
Christmas
say.
Christmas is also an NBA holiday now.
Thanks.
So we thank Adam Silver on that day too.
So don't just indiscriminately thank the military because you hear it's a holiday. Take the time to figure out what the holiday actually means. Today is a day to celebrate all folks who have served in the military. Some days are just for folks who died in military service. Today is Veterans Day. Thank a veteran, any of those who served, again, at your home, at your workplace, for a friend, give them a shout out. It was a chock full weekend. Football, basketball, football, European style. Do we just call it soccer? I really don't even know. You guys are educating me on how to talk.
So after calling it soccer for a while now, I feel lame referring to it as football.
That's what I.
But that's like, that's the definition of it.
No, I agree. But I feel like even the Europeans sort of are okay with us calling it soccer now to distinguish from the other sport, right?
I think so, yeah.
So it seemed like for a long time, calling it soccer seemed like, oh, you're ignorant. You don't even know that this started out as football. Mm-hmm. You don't. So then shifting. People tried to be like, I don't want to be, arrogant American who thinks my football is the only football in the world, so I will refer to soccer as football. Mm-hmm. But now it's gone back and be like, look, yes, I recognize that there is a tier of sports and that soccer is the biggest sport in the globe, but because we already have sort of an established football here, we're just going to continue to call it soccer. And so I think that's where we're at. But a big match in soccer. And it's also nice to see that sports throughout the world, regardless of what league, what sport it is, what country it's played in, or what types of fans are, we can all rally behind getting mad at the refs and having controversies.
Yeah, oh boy.
So
oh boy.
It's good to see that there are some universal themes in sports.
It was funny to see Man City fans go all NC State fans during the first half of that the game on Sunday.
We'll talk some more about that with Ben Swain when he joins at 10:45. We'll talk to Luis Moreno about Panthers at 10:30. Chip Patterson will join us in studio. He and Brian Geisker and Josh Goodson will break down the ACC football and beyond. And just generally, we'll have fun. And at some point, we'll get an update on Josh Goodson's daddy-daughter weekend. Getting it done all weekend with the girl, taking her everywhere. But
congrats on doing your job.
that is like the definition of congrats on doing your job, on being a dad. Congrats on actually parenting with your wife out of town. But I still don't know. Are we calling it the weekend in review or things to talk about at lunch?
I just play whatever you
Whichever
say.
Whichever one it is, let's do it.
Things to talk about at lunch that happened over the weekend.
Yeah, if it's Monday, things you should talk about at lunch are the things that happened to the weekend. What? All right. What if you're a sports fan in Raleigh, North Carolina, and let's just assume you have general interest, what would the first thing you'd be talking about at lunch today? Because it's tough because state might be a more compelling conversation. State
you're probably
Clemson,
talking
but it
about
like
the
48
Panthers.
Hours old.
You're probably talking about the Panthers.
All right, you're probably talking about the Panthers. So
or should the Hornets move Terry Rozier to the bench? That might be. But they just paid him all this money. Is that a bad look for MJ if they were to do something
maybe actually,
like that?
If you are in Raleigh, you are talking about Pac Pro Devontae Graham just absolutely crushing it.
Stop. If you were talking about the Hornets benching Terry Rozier, it's because your meal has taken a little long to arrive.
Yeah, good point.
And you've gotten through some other things.
Good point.
Goodson, I actually was hoping Devontae Graham would tweet at us because I retweeted something that he tweeted with the hashtag PacPro, and I was like, please.
He's not going to do that.
Please.
He spent 4 years in Kansas. He's not buying into your juvenile joke about him being a Pac alum. We're not having that.
This is now 10 assist games off the bench for Devontae Graham this season. Would you like to know how much the rest of the NBA has combined?
Zero?
Two.
Two. He's got how many 10 assists?
Three.
Three 10 assist games.
Off the bench.
Guy looks good.
Yeah, he's
all
been
right.
Awesome.
But let's start elsewhere in Charlotte, or at least the team from Charlotte. The Carolina Panthers, 5-4. Three of their next four games come against the Falcons and the Redskins, which seems like they should be easy wins, but the Falcons all of a sudden looked frisky yesterday. Mm-hmm. But they fell at Green Bay, 24-16. Several things to talk about in this game. It's a little bit what we expected going in, right?
We're not talking about the snow.
We can talk about
football games in the snow are cool.
I didn't know if you meant talking about the snow at Green Bay or the impending snow in North Carolina that everyone's talking about. It's not going to snow.
Moose Opal incoming in 3, 2, 1 now.
Yeah, we will ask Moose for an update on potential snow tomorrow, but I don't think that's necessarily happening. I think it's going to be cold and rainy. We may actually see some snowflakes, but I don't think we'll be able to call anything.
I'm talking about the snow at the football game.
It was cool.
Yeah.
I think if you...
Like if you're playing a video game, you can set the weather.
Yes.
Aren't you playing in the snow?
Well, I was going to say if you're like, man, this is my one chance. I'm going to go follow the Panthers, go see a game in Green Bay. You wanted to snow,
right? Snow.
Yep. You're like, if I'm here, it was perfect. You didn't get the 3 inches like totally take away from the character of the game type snow. It was just a little bit of snow that actually started accumulating on the field. A couple other things from the game. A laughable roughing the passer call.
Oh, my God.
It seemed like folks were universal on this one. I mean, Troy Aikman on the call. I think even Mike Pereira was like,
No. So they didn't even – maybe I missed something. They didn't even go to Pereira on here just so he couldn't clown his ref friends.
He was like, don't come to me on this one.
I don't want
to
blast my friends right now.
It looked weird. And shout out to Aaron Rodgers for actually catching a flag. And also shout out to Aaron Rodgers. He gets some calls, but he does not go looking for them the way Tom Brady does.
Yeah.
Anytime Brady gets tackled, he's looking around like, guys, did you see this?
Yeah.
I'm not supposed to hit the ground. You know the rules here. Rodgers at least plays like a football player, and then, because he's Rodgers, gets some of the benefits. But
I thought it was grounding in a safety when the flag went out, and then Gerald McCoy reacted in a way of, I can't believe they're making this call against me, and all of a sudden, as reality started to set in, I got annoyed and was happy to switch over to the Hornets game 20 minutes later.
He's a big dude. He seemed to do all the things you ask. He realized he was arriving at the quarterback as the ball was leaving. He knew he could not hold up, right? They weren't going to get him for a late hit, just play, because he was there. And then at that point, he's off his feet, not launching, just sort of there was a body below him, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's falling towards Rodgers, and he kind of moves to the side. So he gets in with more of just one arm, takes him down, and then still gets a flag. Now, the Panthers and McCoy specifically sort of redeemed themselves when later on that drive, they got a stuff to basically end the half, and the Packers got no points out of it. But the Packers would have been punting with 2 minutes to go from their own end zone. Panthers would have had the ball, mm-hmm. likely a very good scoring opportunity, field goal or touchdown before the half. So to say that
field goal, probably.
To say that it had no effect, I think is not quite accurate, right?
I mean, it clearly did. It was going to present them with a serious scoring opportunity.
Yes, but it wasn't the bang-bang of instead of getting the scoring opportunity, the Packers went down and got a touchdown.
Right.
Because then the Packers opened the second half with a touchdown. And
It's gonna end up being forgotten because they ended up not scoring. But, like, the way after the Packers got that roughing the call penalty, the way that Rodgers manipulated the clock, the final, like, minute and 50 seconds, which was they were about to score with zero time left, and with the Panthers having all three of their timeouts left. How many moves do you think Aaron Rodgers would need to beat Ron Rivera in a game of chess? Like, how many? Three? It's less than 10, right? Before just checkmate between Rivera and Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, it was just beautiful. He ran down and put his team in a chance to either go
stuffed,
for a field goal
obviously,
or
by
touchdown.
McCoy, right, so poetic justice. But, just the way the clock was handled after that was another sort of, like, boneheaded, hey, maybe you could have also had one more scoring opportunity then,
by
too.
By using some timeouts.
Yeah, exactly.
Other things that happened in that game. Ron Rivera did go with the analytics. Late in the game, they were down 14.
Like that, though.
They scored a touchdown to cut it to 8, and Rivera went for 2. Now, some people question this, but it is apparently the slam dunk, no doubt about it, no question. It's one of those you just read the math on it.
Because you go for 2 and you get it better than 50% of the time, right?
Right. Or even, let's just call it 50%. For even math, let's call
even
it
math.
50% of the time.
And it's better than that. The odds are even better.
Yes,
but let's just say that's the case. Then if you get it, coin flip, but you get it, then all of a sudden, all you got to win the game, all you need to do is score another touchdown to get the extra point. Then you win. If you don't get it, then you still have another 50% chance. You know, really, it's like 55% or whatever to get the second two-point conversion. It's absolutely the call to make.
Yeah. No, I think this, BG said it, your chances, if you go for it and get it, your chances of winning are greater than your chances of not tying the game to go to overtime by not getting
and
it.
It's
basically what it is.
Yes.
I'm not trying to call you out, Josh Goodson, but you seem like somebody who's been converted by the explanation, because didn't I see you tweet, like, why is he going for two there?
No, I tweeted because I thought he was just going for a score got me.
Just trying
to make like eight,
I would
hit,
have expected
16,
that, honestly.
Like, hit 16
or 18. Just like
probably some score got me chances in there.
But no, if you think about it, it does make sense. Like Brian said, if you consider the two-point try a slightly better than 50%, but just to keep the math even, if you think if it's a 50% chance and you're going to get two chances, if you come back, you're going to get two chances at a two-point conversion, so you give yourself at least one of those, that's the 2 points that you need, right? And then if you happen to get the first one, then you're merely kicking for the game. The other thing, Josh Goodson, you pointed this out earlier before the game, it may have been trickier math, and still may in college, when extra points were still like a 98% thing. But now in the NFL, where they've backed the kick up, and I don't even know, I should go learn the percentage, but the extra point is more like a 85 or 90% thing instead of a 98% thing that it used to. And it's in the snow? Mm-hmm. Like, you're certainly not guaranteed your single extra points. There's no reason not to be going for two when you're down 8 after having just scored a touchdown late. So anybody who is out there saying they shouldn't have done it, just evolve.
Yeah.
The math is against you on this one. It's going to become a standard thing, right? As more and more people know this, fan bases will start calling out their coaches for not doing this as opposed to questioning the oddity of when it happens. And that's one of the more like slam dunk, no question do it. There'll be more of these quirky situations where people are debating and the coach who's done the research and math is like, there's no debate. I know it might not work, but there's no debate about what would work. Let's hear Ron Rivera talk about his decision to go for two.
Well, you know, it's a quote-unquote analytics thing. The numbers basically tell you that if you go for two there and you make it, and the next time you score, you have a chance to win it. If you don't make it, you go out and you go for two again to even it up. And again, it's just a little something with all the analytics going around now that we talked about. And in a situation like this, especially on the road, if you can score and get a two-pointer and put yourself in a position where you don't have to go in overtime, you most certainly want to take that opportunity.
All right, here's my question. Does Ron Rivera actually believe the math? Like, I get it, and good on him if he has a person that he trusts enough to be like, all right, I think, like, but he... Can you play just the beginning of the quote where he says, quote, unquote, analytics?
Well, you know, it's quote, unquote, analytics.
Like, even there, it sounds like he's like a little skeptical. Like, no, it's just analytics.
And later in that, he also says, with all the analytics going around.
With all the analytics
going around. Which is just
like
a funny, they're just numbers.
It sounds like,
all it is.
It sounds like he's still a little bit skeptical, but he trusts the person who has told him the math enough that he's like, all right, if you say so. But he's still, in his own mind, he's like, I don't know, man, in my day, we just kicked extra points and it worked. I don't know why we would stray from that.
Quote unquote analytics.
Keep that. Quote unquote.
I think he had
analytics.
Just been following my fantasy team. I've had 6 extra points missed by my fantasy kickers
this
year.
That is incredible. The negative amount of points generated from mixed
six
extra
missed
points.
Extra. I just went and looked. 6 throughout the year.
6 extra points missed by Goodson's fantasy kickers. That is bad. But yeah, that is. The Panthers, I'm trying to think of anything else. The final goal line stand.
Josh's team should go for 2 more. Check the analytics. What are the analytics going around?
Can you do that in fantasy football? Like, I don't want to play a kicker. I would just like, I'd like 2-point conversions for this team when they go for them. The final goal line stand, I don't have a lot of beef with the call at the end. The was CMC in? Is that the new thing?
Neither does Twitter. We did put it on the poll. Who was more in? T.A.?
Or Christian McCaffrey.
And 65% say T.A. 35%, which are probably UNC fans, said Christian McCaffrey.
It was one of those where he kind of ran into his own offensive lineman.
It wouldn't surprise me if you had a clear view.
Yeah,
you probably if for some reason you were able to see the ball, if there was technology that, you know, could censor the ball hitting the line, you probably got in. We just couldn't see it.
Yeah. No, I agree with that, but there's nothing to argue with. On what you could see,
right.
You couldn't really argue it. I do believe I could find someone in Durham who would tell me that the technology does exist, that we don't need to wait for a camera angle.
Yeah,
the same technology, you know, where a guy can land on the green in golf and in like 12 seconds they can tell you exactly how many feet and inches he is. We put some of those same things in place, a little sensor on the ball, a little sensor on the line. We might not ever have to know. But also, I think the people in charge, the man, if you will, might think that it's more interesting to debate a replay than it is to get a definitive answer on
quote
this
unquote
one.
Analytics thing.
quote unquote technology is what we need to be using. So the Panthers fall to 5-4, but again, in theory, 3 of their next 4 games, 2 against the Falcons, 1 against the Redskins, should be winnable. But then they have a game against the Saints coming up too, but then all of a sudden the Falcons beat the Saints, so hard to know exactly what to think about that. Elsewhere in football, big college football weekend.
Mm-hmm. Wait. We're not going to talk what everyone's talking about at lunch today.
All right.
We're not going to talk about my Garner Trojans.
Oh, we can talk about the
5 right. straight wins.
The interesting thing
we
is...
We buried them in week 7.
We didn't bury them. We promoted them in week 0.
That's true.
We had them in the playoffs before the season started.
That's right.
Our joke was, if you've been around these parts for a long time, you know that Garner is almost always not just good at football, very good.
And Wake,
right?
Garner and Wake Forest.
Well, Wake Forest is like more of a newcomer.
Right,
like, you've been here a long time. Like, Wake Forest, Roseville, they weren't any sort of powerhouse. But like now, yes, the past 5, 10 years, Wake Forest has been a powerhouse.
Just Wake Forest.
But yeah, I know. I was saying.
Come on.
I was saying I grew up with Wake Forest, Roseville.
Right.
Okay. Wake Forest didn't even exist as a high school. But when you grew up, Garner was always good. Your team could have a good year, but they'd still lose by a touchdown to Garner. Garner would always be in the state playoffs. So we joked that Garner starts the year at 3-0 and clinches a playoff berth in week 2, being 6-0 somehow. But this year, oddly, they started off like 1-4.
1-5.
1-5, and then won 5 straight.
5 straight.
To make the playoffs. So shout out. We're riding with the Trojans.
We are.
Did the playoffs start this weekend?
Yes.
We'll have to have our man Nick Stevens from High School OT maybe join us this week.
There
to
we
give
go.
A little playoff glimpse. But congrats to the Garner Trojans getting it done. Elsewhere in the weekend of football, let's talk college.
We got to.
Yes, Goodson.
Goodson wants to go back to talking high school.
Goodson got we kind of pushed Goodson in a corner and made it sound like he was predicting that NC State would beat Clemson, but he never really his heart was never in it.
No.
He came in here and admitted like he had some dreams about it. He fantasized about how it could possibly happen, but ultimately He did not believe it would happen. It did not happen. And now UNC, Duke, and NC State, all 4-5. And
welcome to the bad.
Yeah, and I'm guessing if you go
to the bad place,
you go look at some of those wins, they are not, you know, they're beating the hapless opponents that they paid to come play them.
In Syracuse.
Yeah. But, but all 4-5. Look, we told you this, right? We started the season saying it's going to be kind of bleak in the triangle this year. Mm-hmm. And then we got swept up in it. I mean, UNC beat South Carolina. Duke pounded Virginia Tech kind of early in the season.
Yep.
State.
They did.
Played
they
East
won.
Carolina
they won games.
And Western Carolina, and all of a sudden it was like, oh, yeah, who knows? But this is what we expected from teams, 4-5. Even Wake joined the losing trend, losing to Virginia Tech.
Thank God.
Why are you going to be an anti-Wake guy? You don't waste enough energy being anti-UNC.
Yeah, seriously.
Hate reading UNC's website after every game that they win.
I'm surprised Goodson didn't say, orange or glad Wake lost. I know, sorry.
Solid bad puns from John Rand. I like it. All right, which one do you want to start with? Do you want to talk the pack?
There's not much to say. I mean, exactly what everyone thought was going to happen. 55-10. Like, where do we want to go from here? Ask me.
Just there was one play of the game that I wish I could have gotten a screenshot.
Was it the
of.
Three players heard at the same
heard
time?
At the same time with
God.
This.
I tweeted that out.
Framed by the scoreboard saying Clemson 28-0, and it was like, this is like they should stop playing this game right now.
Yeah, there's nothing to say about this game in general. Clemson is fantastic. They played really well. It's still fun to see the defending national champions come to your place. State fans showed out. It was really cold. I left at halftime.
Some people stayed.
They played three. Here's the reality. NC State has three games left. Louisville, Georgia Tech, North Carolina. I'm going to use the word winnable, not in the sense of they are going to win them all.
Definitely
but you're playing teams that have issues.
Yeah.
So you're not. And
if you're not playing Clemson and you're playing an ACC team, it's winnable.
So, but
who are they playing? Louisville,
Louisville,
UNC.
Georgia Tech, and North Carolina.
So let's give them the Georgia Tech win. Let's
no,
just give it.
I'm not giving them that. No, but like they're playing teams that they're not going to be out-talented. You know, they have issues. But the reality is NC State, the only gripe I have left now is I don't know if the last 3 weeks have been bad.
Right.
They've been getting crushed. I don't know if you have all these injury issues and you're playing guys that aren't ready supposedly, maybe they're not ready to play in your system. And maybe for these next couple weeks you need to do something to
strip it down.
Right. And this isn't like go to a wishbone. There's not, I'm not saying
wishbone
that.
Wishbone offense. Josh Goodson calling run the wishbone offense.
Let's bring back the Veer offense.
But at some point you can't keep trotting out the guys and putting them in positions where you're just getting blown out of the game.
Yep.
Do something different to give these guys a chance to maybe win a game. Like throw some wrinkles. Like the thing about the Clemson game that was the only thing that kind of was unfortunate is they did nothing to try to like be crazy
different, right.
Like, and I think it's give them a chance. Like you have three games left, two at home. But yeah, they're just getting blown out of the water every single game.
We talked about it last week, but you know, State was sort of put in a tough circumstance by the College Football Playoff Committee, who left Clemson outside of the top four, basically begging them to you know, hey, if you're gonna beat somebody, maybe start beating them bad to get our attention back. I just don't understand. I get
it's almost like the system we've designed is made for TV and not very good.
And I get that Clemson's schedule hasn't been amazing. It's been fine. They scheduled Texas A&M.
Yeah.
But I feel like a lot is being put on that close game against UNC. It's as if UNC fans claiming that as a victory actually made some impact on the College Football Playoff Committee.
Also, that argument is so dumb because it just completely ignores all other context. Like, point differentials, efficiency margins. Like, there's stuff we can look at that says this team is unbelievably good.
Quote-unquote analytics.
And who cares if, like, the ACC has been somewhat down this year?
Quote-unquote analytics thing.
And Clemson played one close game.
Yeah.
Like, one on the road against a team that has an NFL quarterback. Like, it's insane if that's actually the one thing people are still, like, dinging Clemson for.
Clemson up to number 3 in the AP. Where do we think they'll be in the College Football Playoff?
Maybe 8?
Level drop? Yeah, about 9?
Yeah, definitely, yes.
Because for playing a weekend
I mean,
State team.
Minnesota's got to float up now.
Yeah.
Penn State might be a 4 because they only lost to Minnesota.
It was wonderful to hear at the end of the Alabama-LSU game on Saturday. Like, that game hadn't been over 2 or 3 minutes. And already
people
Nessler and Danielson still in the booth were like, I mean, the way this game went, I think Alabama's got a pretty good chance of staying in here. And I was play the tape.
I said this on Friday. Now, it was what, a 5-point game?
Yeah.
I said a 3-point game. I said, guarantee you it ends up a 3-point game so that both teams will be able to say, well, clearly these are the best two teams in the country.
You're right. I agree with you. Yeah. And I'm saying, like, it wasn't even like the studio show afterwards. Yeah. It was like, yo, this is before they even send this out. It's like the guys, while they're wrapping up from Tuscaloosa, it's like, guys, don't forget Alabama.
One team was going to win and therefore be deemed, oh, well, that's the best team in the country. And the other team was going to be, oh, that team is right there with the best team in the country, so they got to be good. Meanwhile, you've got to tell me what Alabama's schedule and all this other stuff, why it's so much better than Clemson at this point, especially with the loss. Because now that's going to be the number one game that they point to say Alabama's good, mm-hmm. is their 5-point loss to LSU. I was like, well, look, LSU's the best team in the country, and Alabama's very close with them. And if they played them again, they probably would beat them or whatever. We're like, no, let's play the same game we're playing with Clemson and go by all these wins that should mean nothing for Alabama's resume, and let's evaluate them like that.
I don't think we're being fair to Alabama, Hayes. The next two games, Bama has to go to Mississippi to play a 4-5 team, and then they have to take on Western Carolina, who we know is – never mind. I can't do this anymore.
And then they have Auburn after that, I'm
guessing. It's at Auburn, yeah. Which is – okay, fine. That's one.
Elsewhere around the ACC, Duke fell to Notre Dame, 38-7. Duke struggling to score after – it's just so weird on both sides what's happened with Duke and Virginia Tech since the Duke and Virginia Tech game, right?
Yeah.
That made you think, whoa, Duke might be a contender for the Coastal, and Virginia Tech is a dumpster fire falling apart. And since then, Virginia Tech has kind of righted the ship. Played Notre Dame close even, and then got Virginia Tech obviously got the big win this week against Wake Forest. So, did I say something wrong?
No, something came up on my computer.
Gotcha. Oftentimes, when I get a confused look, it's because I said something stupid, like Virginia beat Virginia this weekend or something.
No,
Virginia did beat Georgia Tech to keep from turning the ACC completely upside down. I guess Virginia's still in the running, or still sort of the inside track for the Coastal Division.
It's going to probably come down to Virginia Tech. And Pitt still is there, too. There's three teams with two losses.
We'll talk to Chip Patterson about who the second-best team is in the ACC. And shout-outs to our folks in the mountains and down at the coast. ECU nearly pulled off the upset versus SMU, and that's 2 weeks in a row. Almost beat Cincy, hung tight with SMU. Yes, you want to see wins. Nobody's going to be talking about ECU because their record's still going to be not great at the end of the year. But if you're a fan of the program and a fan of Mike Houston, the efforts you've seen the last 2 weeks are what you hope to continue to see. If you put some more players on that team with that type of effort and scheme, they will sort of result in
NC
win.
State called ECU at the best time. If that was like reversed where they
That's
were playing them late in the year. Now, obviously, there's injuries and such, but still – even if State didn't have injuries, the way that ECU's been playing and they're still fighting, we would not see a duplicate of what we saw at the beginning of the year.
Also, State's secondary trying to match up with how ECU's moving it through the air, too, would be ugly as well.
And then the Mountaineers getting it done versus the Carolinas. They beat North Carolina early in the year. They beat South Carolina this year, sweating out the ending. Did you guys watch this? That was so bad. There were a couple things. But yeah, there were some.
Why are those hedges out of the back of the end zone that close to the end zone?
I thought the same thing.
God.
So, guy from South Carolina is running free.
Yeah.
No one near him. And yes, he still should have caught it.
There was a set of bushes closer to him than any defender.
He still should have caught it, but it does.
The throw was not.
It was not
amazing.
Perfect.
Yeah.
But it does make you think, like, yo, this guy, instead of just running and thinking he has an extra 15 yards to like slow down, this guy's thinking like, I need to run, catch, and then stop immediately before I apply this thing. It reminds me. I have a buddy who's got not a conspiracy theory. He has a theory that the elevated court that they play on in the Final Four in basketball, he's like, that has to affect people. He's like, I know we've talked to players and they said it doesn't, that when you're on it, it doesn't. He's like, but I just feel like your body, when you're running towards the sideline, feels like, whoa, you're coming to a drop-off point.
Even when I watched soccer, and you know, the it's not that far off the pitch that it slopes down. That always, like, I mean, those guys are amazingly coordinated, so it doesn't, I guess it's fine, but for me, I'm always like, that looks incredibly dangerous. And maybe for a different reason, but we obviously know in these big Final Four games that playing in the dome, that impacts the shooting percentages. Maybe that has some impact on with the court also being elevated too.
No, I think so too. But yes, regardless, the South Carolina receiver, whether he was scared of hitting the bushes, couldn't catch up to the not perfect pass, or just dropped it in general, he dropped it. App State holds on, wins 20-15. They get paid $300,000 this year to go beat North Carolina at North Carolina. They get paid $900,000 to go beat South Carolina at South Carolina. This is how you need to run an athletic program. Have people pay you to come to their house and beat them. That was an all-time bring me my money.
Bring me my money.
Yeah, I love me a bring me my money. Tell them to bring me my money. Nobody quite did it as well at the App State, as the A&T coach, but shout out to App State. We mentioned it, but Alabama lost to LSU 46-41. Wrote the score there backwards on my thing. Didn't say it
out
loud.
In the eyes of the committee, that's what the score actually was.
it's Alabama. So we will see. We'll talk to Chip Patterson about what the college football playoff rankings might look like with two of the top four teams losing and what that's going to be like. Elsewhere in the sports world, we did have basketball. UNC and Duke got moved to 2-0 with mostly uneventful wins over UNC Wilmington and Colorado State. Shout out to anybody who got a Flow Sports subscriptions. If you're that big a fan, I salute you. State evens its record at 1-1.
Side note, like I know we've been talking a lot about Duke, you know, new freshman class. Trey Jones is sort of like the head guy coming in. I know it's been only two games, but people haven't watched Cassius Stanley for Duke yet. That dude might be special.
It's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, he's been pretty awesome in these first two games.
He's up on the they don't have a star.
They have Trey Jones, and in my book, he is a star. But, like,
I mean, more people saying, like, or even Coach K was saying, like, this is it's more of an ensemble cast.
I think it is. Yeah, he used a musical analogy after the game.
Loved it.
Up your alley. But no, Stanley looks pretty awesome.
Like, he is a legit star.
Yeah.
So
maybe. It's early. I don't want to overreact, but he's been amazing through the first two games.
Duke wins. UNC wins. They're both 2-0. NC State takes care of business against Detroit. We saw Markell Johnson back on the court. They even their record at 1-1. Wake Forest also evened its record at 1-1 in basketball.
Tried not to.
Beating out Columbia 65-63. And I didn't even know this, but somebody wrote it on the doc. Pitt loses to Nicholls?
Yeah.
What?
That happened this weekend.
What?
Did you guys not see that?
No.
Saturday.
I don't follow Pitt basketball. But yeah, Pitt, if you're going to beat Florida State, how about follow it up with a good win?
Best win of the ACC basketball weekend. Shout out to our favorite team, Florida State, going on the road. They played two games already this year at Pittsburgh, at UF. What other team opened up with true two road games?
I think zero. I literally saw that stat.
Now they've beaten UF six straight years, and literally Trent Forrest is after the game doing the LeBron, not one, not two, not three. Leonard's just standing next to him, just smiling. This is the coolest team in college basketball. They rule.
Love us some Florida State.
Love us some Stan Jones out there with his burgundy coat yesterday, just commanding the huddle, drawing up stuff on the grease board.
And
Trent Forrest doing his thing.
I think I saw this was something like 17 or 18 wins versus a top 10 team when his team was unranked for Leonard Hamilton, more than like double any other active coach. I think Mike Bray and Jim Boeheim were on the list. Basically, ACC coaches who always are playing, you know, Duke, North Carolina, Virginia, who are usually top 10 teams.
Yeah.
Get more shots at doing this, but Leonard Hamilton has always been competitive in the ACC, never an easy out. So, yeah, another big win against Florida. Let's go to the office to our man Swain to get a report of how people are acting at work today based on the sports results from the weekend. Ben Swain, what's going on, dude?
Kind of a crazy day here at the office. I'm not sure what this has to do with sports. But our QA, quality assurance director, who's a huge UNC fan, just sent out a memo that the customer service reps only have to score 50% now to be eligible for bonuses, which seems kind of low because they really cared a lot about efficiency last year. But this year, it's just not that important to them at all. And I don't know what the reason for that shift is. But, yeah, efficiency overrated in the minds of UNC fans now.
UNC fans loving volume now all of a sudden. How else are
Cole
folks
Anthony?
how else are folks acting at work on a Veterans Day? Like people like Moose don't even have to work today.
Well, I mean, Moose never has to work.
Well, that's true.
It's really not that much of a difference.
True, hard to determine. What else?
No, everybody's. I don't know. It was like a big health kick around the office today. All the state and Duke and Carolina fans all brought oranges to the office. On the Wake fans' desk. I don't know why.
Interesting.
But it's just a big health kick today.
A lot of subtle taunting going on.
It's cold season, so your vitamin C is important.
Exactly.
That must be what it is. Swain, what I know that big sports all weekend long. We have football. You can tell us what else is going on at the office. I know in your world, and we talked about this a little bit, big English Premier League soccer game this weekend, and it's nice to see that sports fans of all ilk always embrace the referees always being right.
Yeah, no controversy at all in the game on Sunday. No, Liverpool won against Manchester City, 3-1 in really the matchup of the season. It is only November, and there's a long way to go. But Liverpool, 8 points clear of second place now, in kind of a commanding lead, a big game behind them. Some talks of maybe some ignored handballs going on, but Liverpool gets to win 3-1, and it was a big result and a huge party at Anfield yesterday. So what a great game.
To do the conversion, that was a 21-7 game if you were doing football scoring. I think we need to announce all the EPL scores in multiples of seven so that people will be like, whoa, I'm missing out.
Or 9-3 if it's a Ron Rivera game.
Manchester City, I like your subtle pretend like I said the wrong team name when I actually said Man United on purpose. I am still new to the EPL. Liverpool's been great the past couple of years, but if you're a long-time Liverpool fan, it's not like you just jumped in pulling for the best team. Like, they had their struggles, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they have not won the league. They have not won the league since it became the Premier League. So this is not a team that's just won a bunch of championships. They do have a long, rich history of a lot of trophies. They won the European Championship a season ago and made it to the finals the year before that. So they've had a successful run over the past couple of seasons. But, yeah, their tradition is kind of heartbreak at the end of the year, and that's kind of the thing that they do. So the big talk now in the EPL is going to be, can Liverpool hold on to this lead? They could not a season ago. They ended up losing the league by 1 point to Man City. So it's a long way to go. It's an uphill climb, and a lot of history needs to be erased for them to win the title.
More importantly, how did our fantasy team do?
Our fantasy team did outstanding. We had three goal scorers on the team. Our goalie did not do as well as we thought he would. But we still ended up with a lot more points than we typically do. And we crushed it in the fantasy world this weekend.
Making you that money. All right, your EPL team did well this weekend. It was a struggle this weekend in some regards for the Carolina Hurricanes, who are on a bit of a slide. What's up with the Canes?
Yeah, they have not won yet in November.
Yikes.
which is not advisable.
A third of the way through the month.
Yeah, they're back home again tonight against the Ottawa Senators. They've played three games so far against three of the worst teams in the league and have losses in all of those three games, which is that's kind of hockey. I mean, anybody can beat anybody on any given night, especially when you play an 82-game season. But the Canes need to beat somebody now. And they play the Sens again tonight on home ice. Looks like Peter Mrazek is getting the start again after his winning streak was snapped in the last home game. So hopefully he can get back on track. Dealing with some injuries, Holla is still out. Looks like Brock McGinn is not skating this morning, so he may be out as well. And the Hurricanes have been forced to play, you know, 7D and 11 forwards, which is not a good recipe for success. They need to get healthy again.
Swain is Goodson. I take responsibility. I haven't been doing the rooting guide.
I thought about that. I mean,
we got to bring it back.
Yeah. I mean, now we're actually,
now we literally need it.
We're like 20th in the standings. We're back right to observing what other teams are doing. Yeah, bring back the rooting guide, Goodson.
Okay.
Yeah, Step your game up.
If the playoffs started today, the Canes would be the first team out based on win percentage. So we need to get them back in. Yeah.
And then, Swain, I know there was a lot of sports all weekend long, night games, day games, morning games if you're watching EPL. Were you still able to get a full weekend of rest in this weekend?
I was. I was going to wish you a happy belated birthday. And I was going to say that the best gift that you can give someone is special in your life is a wonderful night of sleep. So, like, if you're a big snorer or you toss and turn a lot at night or just don't sleep very well, whoever you're in bed with is not going to enjoy their night. So the best gift that you can give them is setting up a consultation with Brandon Giegling at Parkway Sleep Health Center in Cary. Visit them online at parkwaysleep.com and get that booked today. I've heard that Mary Akin is a terrible sleeper, and I hope that she gave you that for your birthday.
No, it's the other way around. I am a bad snorer. We actually were talking about this. I didn't realize that my brother-in-law had done a sleep health study, but he did it years ago. So unfortunately, I can't send him to Parkway Sleep Health Center. But this is a common thing. People have sleeping problems. Some of you can get fixed. So take Swain's advice. Do what he's doing. Go see the folks at Parkway Sleep Health. And of course, Swain, everyone eagerly awaits our ACC of the week. A lot to choose from this week for the local teams not doing great. What do you have for the ACC of the week?
Yeah, we're done with football. So we're gonna turn our attention to basketball now. And I'm going to give our ACC of the week to a guy that I'm excited to introduce to everybody, Ryan Murphy from Pitt. You guys have to pay attention to this dude. One, scored 28 points in a loss against Nicholls State after they beat Florida State, who beat Florida, which is already, I guess we've got the Coastal Division of basketball now.
Yeah.
That's what that sounds like.
Yep.
But this dude is amazing. So he's got back tattoos. He's got arm tattoos. He's got sleeve tattoos. And then his hair, he's like, it has a huge bald spot in the back of his head. So, like, his head looks like he's 40 years old. And then the rest of his body looks like Yellow Wolf. So, we got to pay attention to this guy. Ryan Murphy had a big game against Nicholls State, but then had a turnover at the end of the game. Pitt had a chance to take the lead late in that game after a missed free throw. He got the rebound and was dribbling up the court and lost control of the dribble, and that was the end of that game. So Ryan Murphy is our dude this year that we're going to pay attention to. My man John Mooney is not having a good start to his season as much as we'd hoped. So I'm all aboard the Ryan Murphy for all ACC train early on this year. So I'm giving him the ACC of the Week award.
All right, Charlotte transfer to Pitt. Now he's an all ACC watch list by Sports Channel 8, and he is our ACC of the week. He is our EPL guy, our Hurricane senior analyst, and our ACC of the week awarder, Ben Swain, for Parkway Sleep Health Centers. Thanks, man.
See ya.
Since we've got Brian Geisinger, ACCSports.com and ACC Sports Journal, and Chip Patterson of CBS Sports on the Cover 3 podcast in here, and Goodson's around too. Let's talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly from the ACC this week. Chip Patterson, you want to start us off with your ACC good?
Absolutely. Because I don't know how much good this gentleman's going to get, and so we need to give him his praise and his flowers while we can. But Florida State interim coach Odell Haggins, 3-0 as an interim coach after taking down Boston College on the road in the red bandana game.
Whoa.
This is like the biggest game every year for Boston College. It was a competitive game. It was back and forth. And we talked about this before. This Florida State team has a lot of quit in its DNA. Across the last 3 years, we have seen them blow multiple fourth quarter leads. In fact, I would say the reason that Willie Taggart got fired, if you were to boil it down to one thing, it was that against Virginia, against Boise State, and against Wake Forest, Florida State had the fourth quarter lead, and they blew it. Mm. Those are three quality wins, potentially. If they are wins, Willie Taggart
totally
is still coaching the Seminoles.
Wait, but you said this guy's 3-0.
Because he was after Jimbo.
Ah, so he's like the he's like the Barry Alvarez of Florida State.
Yeah.
He just hangs around and fills in as interim coach.
He's been on the staff at FSU for a very long time.
Yeah. And so Odell Haggins, congratulations. That team and James Blackman, as he's had a up and down last couple years, he was able to get the win. That Florida State team could have folded, but that's an incredible resilience. So that was my good for that team.
They hear national championship or bust, and as soon as they're not winning the national championship, they're like, all right, we busting then.
Yeah.
We out. Yeah. We break. Brian Geisinger, your ACC good.
Well, it's tough not to have FSU basketball in here after a big win on the road. But we'll stick with football, but shout out to the Seminoles. That was a fun game to watch yesterday. Gross in the first half, good in the second half. But Trevor Lawrence, a lot of talk, right? This college football season. What happened to 2018 Trevor? What's wrong with Trevor? Did he get an MRI? Dabo yelling at the media, all that stuff. Last three games, Trevor Lawrence, 48 of 62, 77% completion percentage, 12.4 yards per attempt. It's pretty good. 9 passing touchdowns, 3 in every game, 0 interceptions, 2 rushing touchdowns. Clemson looking real scary as the regular season, you know, winds down here.
The touchdown at the end of the first half was sick.
The pass?
Because it was really good defense.
The dude was step behind him, just the angle he had to get in there was perfect.
It was an absolutely perfect pass, and I think it was the last play of the half or something like that, and people were actually why did they – I think they went for it on fourth down right before that, where they kind of – people think, he didn't have to, whatever. It was just a sick pass.
Yeah, he spun it. All right, what about your ACC bad, Chip Patterson? And I will say, Josh Goodson wanted to leave NC State out of this altogether, but you can't pick NC State for your bad and your ugly. How about
that?
Such a myopic view. It's not all about NC State.
Yeah. Tell Goodson
that. But they're bad.
All right, what is your ACC bad, Chip Patterson?
Bad Jamie Newman performance.
Ooh.
Yeah, less than 50% passing, 2 interceptions. Some of those turnovers leading directly, basically, to Virginia Tech scores. The game on a snap-to-snap basis was much closer, in my opinion, than the 19-point final score, and it was because Wake's offense. And you mentioned Scotty Washington being out, Sage Surratt getting a little bit banged up in the game. But for Jamie Newman, a quarterback that has received a lot of praise for the way that he runs this offense, Virginia Tech's defense has not been elite this year, but they had Wake's number. They were not fooled at all by the RPOs, and Jamie Newman struggled. So that was my bad. In a spot where, like, if Wake had won, you're almost guaranteeing that they are in the college football playoff rankings, maybe right there in the mix for the Orange Bowl, but you go and you take this loss, really disappointing.
Brian Geisinger, your ACC bad this week.
Yeah, we're going with the Wolfpack of NC State here.
Woo!
Number 113 nationally in offensive efficiency, that according to ESPN. And the total offense in general has not been good for State. 9th in the ACC in yards per game. And this is now here are the opponents that they've had less than 5 yards per play against this year. West Virginia, Ball State, Florida State, Wake Forest, and Clemson. Another game with under 5 yards per play. They feasted against bad defenses like Boston College, like Syracuse, like the Cupcakes at the start of the year. It's just been a collapse offensively for this team. And Bam Knight had a good game rushing against Clemson. That's nice to see. But overall, tough game for Devin Leary and really a tough 2019 season. And what was going to be a rebuild for the Pack, no doubt. But, yeah, tough offensively for NC State this year.
All right, ACC ugly. Chip Patterson, what are you going with?
The start of Virginia-Georgia Tech.
Okay.
Disgusting. ACC Coastal games are supposed to be decided in the 40s. We're sitting here looking at 14-14 after one quarter. What the heck? I just think that we talked about the number. Virginia is maybe the number 2 team. I think that they have individuals that could be starting on some of the best teams in the ACC. Bryce Perkins, Joe Reed, obviously if he was healthy on the back end where you've got Hall. Their defensive line is pretty good. But, man, to allow Georgia Tech to come into Charlottesville, when you're sitting there in the ACC Network Extra Spotlight, 12:30 kickoff, stagger those start times.
The ACC Network Extra Spotlight.
Yeah, I just think that was
the first time that phrase is ever used.
Just an ugly sort of start. Obviously, Virginia was able to hold on. And the way that Georgia Tech is playing right now, how about this? Hey, do we think they could shock the Bulldogs in the regular season finale?
No way.
No.
You want to talk about college football playoff spoiler?
If we dial up a few more punter passes, perhaps.
I'd love to back on the SEC with it happening, but I don't see it happening.
Because we've seen this Georgia Tech team from the beginning of the season look woeful against Clemson in that opener on Thursday. You know, they got Miami, and they've been showing a little bit of feistiness. I think I like what Jeff Collins has going down there in Atlanta.
I do like the fact that is it just 3 ACC, SEC, traditional, like last week of the season matchups? The Georgia, Georgia Tech, Clemson, South Carolina.
Floridas.
The Floridas. But Florida State, do they always play every year?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they do. Okay, I forgot that one. And then Louisville, Kentucky.
Right.
Right? Like, it seems like maybe not Florida, but like those are the SEC teams that you kind of want to be matching up with. Like, I'm glad that we've not had a rivalry.
That it's
with
not against Alabama, LSU,
and whatever. Because like we seem to do pretty well in these. The SEC's always thought of a better conference, but like Georgia Tech would every now and then creep up sneak up and beat Georgia. Yeah, yeah. And now Clemson's just dominating South Carolina. Louisville, Kentucky, that's, again, a bit of a coin flip.
Well, now Steve Spurrier will tell you that he did win five straight against Dabo.
Yeah, that is true. All right, that is the – oh, we still got one more ugly.
Sure. I mean,
I forgot.
I've actually – you know, there wasn't like FSU or Miami doing a bad this weekend, so that's usually where I've been cherry-picking my ugly from.
Jaren Williams had six touchdown passes.
Yeah, good for him, because it's been up and down. I mean, the quarterback position there has been a wild ride for a few years now. But yeah, how about Quentin Harris at Duke? 102 yards through the air against Notre Dame, 3.5 yards per attempt. He's had a few games like that this year, like, you know, 88 yards passing against Virginia Tech, yeah. 97 yards passing against Alabama. Duke this season with just 20 pass plays of 20-plus yards. It's last in the ACC. 64 passes of 10-plus yards this year. Second to last in the ACC, ahead of only Georgia Tech. One of those passes came from a punter this year, too. So, yeah, I mean,
Notre Dame already has good talent on defense, but when they do not respect the downfield pass whatsoever, and
their pass rush can tee off.
Yeah, yeah, we're just going to keep everything in front of us, swarm to the ball, and you're going to punt a lot.
And Duke was happy to oblige there, too. But yeah, look, I mean, this is one of the things that a while ago, you probably can't forecast that Danny Dimes is going to become, Daniel Jones is going to become a first-round pick. You know, I feel like this was a year that was a little unplanned for Duke. Still a solid team with the Blue Devils, but yeah, it's been a tough year moving the ball through the air.
There was this line was floated in July in Charlotte. Ready? I don't think people realize there's not going to be much of a drop off from Daniel Jones to Quentin Harris.
Yikes. You want to put a you want to put a person with that line?
Let's put an ugly on that one.
Put an ugly cap
out
on somebody.
Yeah.
You've been listening to the Best of Sports Channel 8, the radio show podcast. Don't forget there are many ways you can listen to this podcast, including streaming at WRALSportsFan.com, the WRAL SportsFan app. And you can also subscribe for free at Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Pocket Casts, and TuneIn. This podcast also drops every weekday at noon. Thanks again for listening to the Best of Sports Channel 8, the radio show podcast.